I love the way you just boldly go into that song. Yeah, I'm wanting to hear it more.
Well, you know, I just never know. I know that our engineer does a good job with coming out when I come back in.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always like, oh, maybe I should just start fading in now, or,
you know. Like so professional.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's with your professional radio voice. You're just going to
exactly
fade in, fade out.
And right now I'm, isn't it funny, I've had a perfect voice all day long, and
mm-hmm.
at this moment I feel a little dry, a little bit of, and so I found an old cough drop.
Oh, good. Unless it's tickling your throat.
No, it's not.
Okay, good.
It's just I feel dry. Who knows why?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But I want to say hello, everyone. We are without guests this week.
Yes.
And we are going to, well, I shouldn't say without guests.
I think I would consider myself a guest.
Yes, because I'm going to be interviewing Christine a little bit later on. We're going to talk about the last couple of weeks that we've had, which has been a very interesting week, couple of weeks. And we're going to interview then Christine about her unwavering strength story coming out at the end of February.
Yes, February 24th.
And
the book
I would
comes
love
out.
Everyone to pick up a copy. That would be awesome.
But we're asking for people to buy their copy on the February 24th
yes,
date.
On that date.
Yes, so that, you know, it'll hit bestseller status, all that good stuff.
Exactly, on that date. Exactly. What everybody does now, which is kind of cool that with technology nowadays you can do that, and that's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, and is it fair? I guess it is, you know.
It's fair because now the playing field's bigger.
It really is. I mean, before it was only like if you had like major-ass publishers.
Yeah.
And
it, you didn't know the rules,
mm-hmm.
and so you couldn't play the game because you didn't know the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it almost felt like it was a closed system, like
mm-hmm.
you had to be invited in and know the secret password and a secret knock.
And the secret handshake.
Yes, exactly. And now you kind of go, well, I can kind of figure it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to all kind of experience these milestones. I think it's fun
yes.
and exciting.
Well, the first Unwavering Strength, which came out in October, went to international bestseller, and that's what we're hoping for
yes.
the second one in the series, Unwavering
yes.
Strength, Stories from, I don't know, I think it's called Stories from the Soul, or I don't know.
Well, the first one, first book was really all about surviving cancer in a lot of ways,
mm-hmm.
or having surviving death, and they opened up a little bit. And this one is really...
How do you survive death, Julie?
I know, people have died around you.
Oh, you're surviving.
you're surviving. And this one is really the way unwavering strength shows up in all of our lives.
Right.
And how we can grasp it and so forth
mm-hmm.
and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really the one thing, having these big milestones, things happen to us that shake our faith, that shake our lives, we can't get out of this life without having that happen to us once or twice.
No, not really.
And it's nice. We don't talk about it enough. Like,
no.
A life is supposed to be good and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, a straight arrow all
mm-hmm.
the way up through the course of it.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, it's quite a conundrum. You know, we're
mm-hmm.
sometimes we're saying, hey, don't talk about that because that brings you down. It lowers the vibration. The frequency.
You're attracting at this level then.
Yeah, you know, the frequency gets muddled And yet, when done, I think, with a pure heart
mm-hmm.
and respect and, you know, for the
right.
The elevation of everyone
yes.
so that the people that are touched are uplifted and not brought down into the doldrums. I think that's when it's good.
It is.
You
really
know, like with
say.
That first time you realize some... you know, that you weren't alone in an issue that you had. You're like, what?
Yeah. I'm not alone.
And how that feels and how
right.
that just opens your heart. You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
So we'll be talking about that. I don't know. You've got the whole show planned.
I kind of do.
And I am your humble servant. I shall just follow along.
Well, I
Does anybody know who we are? By
well, we're Christine Marie and Julie. And... We're
mother and daughter.
Yes.
And I'm the mom.
Christine's the mom.
Yeah.
I'm.
Although you have carte blanche, darling, for the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And what we're, you know, mom's a psychotherapist. We're both flower attraction coaches. We wrote the book, The Clutterfly Effect, together.
Yes,
that was
and
awesome.
You can still get that book.
Yay!
You can still get it on Amazon.com, The Clutterfly Effect. And what's it about, Julie?
It's about tweaking your way to total transformation by decluttering your life.
Be decluttering your
that,
life.
That whole thing in there is pretty amazing because what we're doing is it's hard to tweak more unless if you got a lot of clutter around. So we're like tweaking our way to better and better while we're taking away what is no longer is necessary.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
I mean, at certain milestones in your life, certain crossroads, you know, you have to let go of some baggage. If you want some new to come in, you got to let go of the old.
And sometimes you have to deal with the old because you just want to run away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily getting rid of the clutter.
That's not. You know, and that's why there are shows on TV called Hoarding 101.
Yeah. You have to deal with your own mess first. Otherwise,
I mean, we're talking, I know that's physical hoarding, but, you know, there's emotional clutter.
Right.
You know, there's mental clutter. I mean, how good was it today? You and I, we hardly ever get to have Sundays together because you're always with your guy, but he has something to do today. But we took a nap.
Yes. Not together.
No.
At the same time.
At the same time, but not together.
Well, you know, what the hell. We did together.
Well, we are close. What the hell.
We're together.
You were spooning me.
That's right.
Damn.
Oh, stop, Mom. Don't tell people our secrets.
Exactly.
We're a little too close. But it was such an enjoyable weekend.
And when I woke up, I really felt mentally refreshed. Physically refreshed, but mentally, because I was... You know, I realized I've been carrying some mental clutter.
Right. Well, we've had a really rough couple of weeks. And I kind of want to talk about it a little bit because I just need to let it all out in some sense.
Yeah, I mean, we did. And I'm open to telling my truth about it all. And we didn't have a guest last week because we played a repeat, Pete and Repeat.
Right, and there was only one reason why we did that,
mm-hmm.
because that week my dad had a heart attack.
That's right.
Had a heart attack 300 miles away from us.
Yes, yes.
And it's been a very interesting roller coaster ride, and lots of things have changed, and it's been a huge blessing as well. And a miracle.
And how do we say that?
How do we say that?
But we are. There's a whole bunch of reasons why.
So I'm going to tell a little bit about Normano, and I want to
talk. Norman.
Yeah. So he was doing his job, and he happened to be up in Michigan, and he was making a delivery, and he was, he did something very, he opened up a door that was very frozen shut.
Well, I have to set, you know, for the people in California, they don't, out west, they don't get it. But we had just had, like, about 8 feet of snow that day.
Yeah, no, it wasn't 8 feet of snow. It was 18 inches.
Okay. All right, maybe it's hyperbole.
Yes,
it was a lot.
It was the most snow of this season.
It was a boatload of snow.
And so, you know, everybody started late, and it was great, but the snow had stopped. But there was snow everywhere. So, and even though we don't shovel snow anymore, we hire people that because mm-hmm. we're just like, you know what, why take chances, mm-hmm. right?
That's what we've been saying.
Exactly. And so, but he was, you know, it was interesting that day when it happened. He just looked so good, and he was so happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd even commented, he was so kind to you.
I know, it was weird because... The last thing I said to him is I said, you know, goodbye, and we had brought him lunch or something, didn't
yes.
we?
Mm-hmm.
And he was just leaving, and he stopped and he goes, "Give me a kiss." I go, "You never do that. Why are you doing that?"
And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it, now you look back going, "Well, was that prophetic?" Or you know,
mm-hmm.
Is that it? Prophetic? Prophetic? Yes. And then. So anyway, the reason why we call it a miracle was because of timing.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, like you said, he was trying to push this snow-covered
door
big
open.
Door. We're not saying like a door. This is like,
you know, 30 feet tall.
It's a barn door like thing, so it goes slides.
Yes.
But it's, you know, 40 feet tall.
Yeah.
And probably weighs about 500 pounds.
Yeah, and it's not a it doesn't slide up like an overhead door. It
no.
slides sideways. Yeah.
So if there's ice, it just doesn't move, and they had to come and take the ice away, all this stuff. And he was just like, I'm going to make this door move. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it out. I don't want to find somebody and wait another hour or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he heard a crack in his chest. Mm-hmm. And then he felt a pain in his back, like, oh, I just threw my back out.
Mm-hmm.
And by the grace of God, because typically there's nobody around because we know our job so well, they just trust us to do it and leave and whatever, a maintenance guy was walking by, and he goes, you don't look too good. And he goes, I don't feel too good. And they walked into the office and
gave him baby aspirin.
Called 911. And within a moment, you know, within like 4 minutes, the ambulance was there, and they were only 6 minutes from the hospital. And in the ambulance, they did an EKG and sent that information to the doctors.
And they were waiting there.
And the cardiologists were there. And this was in the middle of the night.
Right.
And so, and then within couple hours, he had a stent. And I'm not even sure a couple hours. It might have been an hour.
No, I don't think so. I think less than that.
Maybe a half an hour. He had a stent put in his heart because it was a full, the main artery was completely blocked. And then he's good. he's good.
Yeah.
He was up there for a little under a week, and we brought him back home. And the next day he was here, he didn't feel well again. And we took him back to our emergency room
And it really wasn't, the reason he didn't, it was really medication at that point.
Yes.
But
very dizzy.
Pardon me?
He was very dizzy.
Yes. But during that time, you know, which we were trying to err on better safe than sorry, he had brought this disc along that they had given him at this Mercy Hospital. Isn't that a great name? You know,
yes,
for hospital?
It is.
And it was a beautiful, you know, lovely hospital that had all his stuff on it, you know. And so I guess he was there overnight or whatever, and the cardiologist at our hospital here in Illinois said, you know, you've got two great-looking arteries, and then you got one that's like 60%. He goes, why don't we, you know, again, err on the side of caution and put another stent in. So that is what's going to happen this week.
Yes.
And
during this time, I'm taking over his business for a little while.
Yes, you are.
Stepping up.
Yeah, and I miss you like
crazy. I miss
crazy.
You, too.
I miss my life. I want my life back. Is that wrong?
No, it's not wrong.
Oh.
And it's so funny because during this time, Dad specifically has been feeling like it's all been such a miracle.
Yes, and it has.
And it has.
Yes.
And so we go. We've been really working with God, talking about this idea that in the Bible it talks about all things work together for good.
Right.
In Him, and can
the
we?
The actual quote is like, "All things work together for good to those that love God."
Thank you. And can we believe that quote in tough times? And he really has been. I mean, he.
Yes. You know,
and during this process, I had a breakdown in the semi, and I had the truck towed 2 miles, and it cost like $700
for a 2 mile tow.
Yeah. I was happy about certain things because things were going fast, and I got the truck fixed, and then nobody knew what was wrong with it. And I was like, oh.
And just to put that kind of in perspective, because I think you'll probably be wanting to talk about, like, the last 12 weeks or, you know.
Oh, right.
But we had a tow in November, and it was, I don't know how many miles, but it was $400.
Yeah. Oh, it was 120 miles.
Yeah.
It was $400.
Yeah.
Same
thing. So here you go. It's a little hard to swallow.
Yeah.
But go ahead. I know you were going
to. Well, no, and I tried to negotiate this. And then as I had to call and tell you guys what was going on, what am I going to do? I mean, they've towed it.
I
got the bill.
Yeah, what can you do? Yeah.
I've used the credit card.
Yeah.
And finally, after about a half hour, Normano goes, Well, it's a miracle, and we have to believe that it's a miracle because maybe they needed it. Maybe that today was a day they needed their certain amount of money to make their business keep going, and we were able to take care of that. And, you know, we're going to be okay.
Yeah, and I needed to hear that because I was feeling, you know, clenched jawed, and and I was feeling like, you know, damn, we're getting screwed, and when he said that, I go, okay, I can release this, and then I said, in my heart, I'm going to use this, I'm going to put that out there that we did this for seed money.
Exactly.
And, you know, it comes back minimum tenfold.
Well, and we do, I do at my core level.
We do
level,
believe in that.
Yes, and I believe that we live in a cooperative universe, and we co-create together. And so I don't know where my place in the universe is with this gentleman, or where God has set me in motion to satisfy a need.
Yes.
Because, I mean, God takes care of our needs for other people, right?
Right.
Your situations that happen.
Yes.
And I'm holding out for the lottery, but that has yet happened at this moment. But all my needs have been taken.
You won the genetic lottery.
I did. Exactly. Exactly. So here we are living in this moment where Dad, bless his heart, everything is a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the midst of that, hearing about other people who haven't had that happen, who've lost loved ones, you know, and you're just like, okay, how can I scream to the universe or and to God, thank you, God, for taking care of my dad, and still hold compassion for someone who didn't get that lucky just recently.
Right.
You know, you're like, okay, you know, be kind, because God has favor for all of us.
right.
And how do we...
Well, we do feel like that, you know, look, overall, you know, that it's not a good thing, right? But it can work out for good. And so we saw this, this incredible timing thing happen.
Right, right. Yeah, a heart attack is not good.
Right.
But the timing of it couldn't have been any better.
It was like, you know, I have to shake my head when I think about, you know, literally, you know, some people don't, you know, people need hours or whatever. But this was like under 10 minutes, you know.
And he was probably at the hospital from the moment it happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the moment the heart attack occurred to the ambulance, to the hospital, 10 to 15 minutes tops.
Mm-hmm.
And through that process, he was given his... maybe aspirin, maybe a little nitroglycerin, maybe, I think, too.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Well, I didn't know that.
I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if that's true.
Oh.
The gentleman that was there, he said that he got some nitroglycerin. But I go, because I thought it was baby aspirin. He goes, no, I don't think so. But then I heard another guy said baby aspirin, so I don't know.
Well, I didn't know any of this.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's bad news or good
news. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I know. I just was, like, shocked.
Yeah, and so, but...
And the story unfolds.
And the story keeps unfolding, exactly. as we give out information, and we learn more, because, I mean, we didn't know that he had another artery that was partially blocked.
Mm-hmm.
And gratefully, you know, your daughter-in-law said, make sure they create a disc of all the information, all the tests that were created.
Right.
If they didn't, they wouldn't have looked correctly at the information.
Right.
And so...
So again, this is... And so with his two that are really good, you know, like 20 or 30%, yes, you know, he will... I mean, I feel like it's like a new lease on life, really.
Definitely. And he will be healthier now than he was before the heart attack when we didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's this, recovery period and everything.
Right.
But it's so wild to be living in this... What every one of us is calling a miracle, because that's what it feels like, and yet have some pretty tough decisions to make ahead of us.
And what was that quote? Is that quote from John Lennon, life happens as you're making plans, or something like that?
Right, right.
You know, we had, because we have businesses going on, and we don't have a lot of personal debt, maybe a house payment or whatever, but we have business debt, and that you sometimes do have that as you're building a business and so forth. And And we were really, as a family, going, you know, we claim right now that we no longer have business debt.
Mm-hmm. This was like in November, October.
Yeah, 6 months, 7 months ago.
Yeah.
Maybe not so that long ago. And we were all just using the law of attraction, using our, you know, asking it is given, talk to God, you know, all the stuff that we've learned. I'm like, let's bring this into fruition. Let's do this. And as the words come out of our mouth, it feels like there's this snowball effect of just major crap coming down the stream.
I mean, probably we're talking about the truck now, right?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, I mean, probably I haven't totaled it or tallied it, but really it was like about a week before November. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Maybe two. Mm-hmm. But since then, it has been nonstop. And, you know, problems, repairs. And, you know,
missed work.
When a semi goes down, it's not just, you know, $100. Like you said, the tows itself, you know, when a big tow truck comes. I mean, it's been, I would say, tens of thousands of dollars.
Yes.
Maybe closer to 20.
Yes.
Maybe more.
Yeah. No, I think it's more. If you count the two big ones.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. You're right. So not only has this, you know, we've built up, you wouldn't call it debt, credit card debt, whatever, but those times represent times when the truck's not moving.
Right.
Or creating income.
Right.
So here was our big prayer, you know, and let's put this out there.
Yeah, we our personal life was going really well. And you're like, well, let's just move this to the business. Let's claim it. Let's just say it. Yes, with all, you know, let's attract from this level, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
this all started. And really, Julie, it wasn't until, I mean, we've had problems with the truck until you took this last load, and you know, you had another breakdown.
Yes.
And luckily, you know, they were able to find this one because,
and that's a miracle. It was a miracle.
It was a miracle they found it because not only this little problem that we had happened before all this stuff started happening in November. I mean, we've put in new radiators, new water pumps. I mean, I don't even know the names of some things like.
Electrical harnesses,
and electrical stuff and
transmission.
It really felt like, whoa, you know, there's somebody in New Orleans with a voodoo doll. I'm just being funny, but you know, that's sort of how it felt at some point, you know.
Yes. And you
And then you got this fix, like you said, it was a miracle because nobody could find it. And the guy came over to talk to you or something.
He goes, I got to talk to you about this. And mm-hmm. and I brought in Norm on the conversation over the phone. And he's like, it's working now, and I can't tell you why. I just really can't. I fixed this thing, but I don't. There's no reason why this problem
should... Yeah, I knocked
should,
on something.
Yeah, I changed on this, and I don't know why by changing it, it shouldn't fix the problem, but it has. And I don't know. I think by letting you go, I'm being ridiculous, but to go deeper could be hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, let's just let it go. I won't turn the car. I won't turn the truck off. Let's just let it hope it works and let me get back home and we'll deal with it later and with another, you know, with a local mechanic possibly. And then as I'm talking to Norm, the mechanic goes, holy cow, I see it right now. I see the problem.
Yes, yes.
I'm like, thank you. And it was literally, it was a $5 fix, several hours of diagnosing,
mm-hmm.
and a miracle occurred,
mm-hmm.
and it felt like a miracle.
It did.
And here's where we go. You and I talk about that, and this is where faith comes into play, because we dive deep to this idea that, you know, God is our source. For our needs financially. Our job is not our source. It's one way that can come in. And so I have to be open in the tough times when I go, I just don't see mm-hmm. where this is all coming from. Because right now, it feels like I'm working for nothing.
Right. Oh, it does. Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
and if that's the case,
like,
I better not work.
You know, and this, I'm sort of being, you know, But like, it feels like what people must have felt like in the aftermath of Katrina or
right.
something. You know, there just
right.
feels like this is the aftermath. You're
yes.
like, you're looking around, all this, you know, money has been spent on the truck, and then what happens to Norm, and then does the truck keep going?
Right.
And we're facing, you know, a minimum of 4 or 6 more weeks of, you know, minimum of recovery.
Right.
And
less work.
Yeah. And so we're shell-shocked.
Right.
We truly are shell-shocked. Mm-hmm. And yet in the midst of that, claiming that miracles did happen, that everything is sincerely from the bottom of my heart, all right,
yes.
and all good. It
yes.
all worked. It's all working out for good. It continues to work out for good, and I'm claiming that, you know. And I'm not just like, I'm just not like, you know, blowing smoke.
No.
I truly mean that.
Well, and this is where we come into the tough times. How
right.
strong is your faith?
Right.
That am I going to throw it away during the tough times? No, that's what it's there for.
Mm-hmm.
And I point my attention to what I want and keep pointing it, keep pointing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just pulling out one of Abraham Hicks' cards,
mm-hmm.
and they talked about, first thing is, you need to be selfish enough to align yourself with your source.
Yes.
And with source energy, what
yes.
do you think of with source?
Yes.
And you talk about, we talk about pointing towards God, Jesus Christ, whatever you are, you know, your faith, how strong is your faith right now?
Mm-hmm.
That it is all right. And you had a revelation during this time, we were talking about this today, and you said, you know, this just came to me. And I go, what?
Well, you were talking.
Yeah.
And I just, it was like a flash of light.
Yeah.
And I said, I got something, Julie. It was like the Spirit opened the door just a wee bit.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, and what you said was, you know, it was sort of like the debt was coming faster then, because it was going to be there. These problems were going to come.
Right.
No matter
and so,
what.
So when we said, let's, you know, when in October when we claimed, hey, let's get
yeah.
debt free.
It was like,
well,
okay, we had to first come up with all the debt.
Yeah.
all the debt hadn't
shown
up yet.
Yeah.
All the big expenses hadn't shown up yet. And we had talked about, too, do we, you know, just pay it right outright? And I'm like, these are business debts.
Mm-hmm.
They should be paid by the business.
Right.
And that may take a little time.
Right.
May not take a little time.
Mm-hmm.
But let's do that appropriately and so forth. But you came up with uncle. That is such an important point.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we're trying to find meaning in the meaningless. We have no idea what is
right.
happening.
Right.
And when you said that, it just made so much sense
yes.
to me. That
it felt right.
Sometimes you call it shaking the sheets.
I do.
You know, in the midst of, you know, having an upgrade in our life or a transformational
mm-hmm.
moment or whatever we're doing
mm-hmm.
to improve ourselves,
mm-hmm.
things start getting worse. And that's because we're shining the light on things that need to be
mm-hmm.
taken care of.
Yes.
And a lot of times, when we're not focusing on that, we're not shining the light on the dark places.
Mm-mm.
And when we claimed that, it was like, okay, well, guess what? There's going to be some things coming down the pike, and but when it's done, it'll be done, and you'll know the true number.
Right, right.
And we asked
and
for that.
And really, that really is true.
Yeah.
And also, what's so interesting during these times is the fact that I'm starting to see, you know, my future differently even.
Yes, yes.
And you can tell and you know, you want to talk about, you know, faith. It's like I always say I never really feel like I have 100% faith, but I always feel good if I go, I'm 51% there.
Right.
You know, it's like you're at that tipping point.
Right. That kind
you
of tips, yeah.
That
exactly.
makes me feel better, you know.
Exactly.
And that's sort of where I'm at. I would love to say, you know, girlfriend, 100%, I'm standing here.
Yeah.
Not going anywhere, you know.
Right.
But it's at the tipping point. I would definitely say I'm 51%.
Well, and here comes to another point that we've talked about. And, It's this idea that do we have enough faith that God can, you know, even through tough times, it will be all right. Mm-hmm. And I would hear people, and this kind of goes to your story, and I want to start talking about your story of that you wrote in Unwavering Strength, a new one coming up.
Sure.
Called The Kiss.
Mm.
But it's this idea that I'll hear people talk about these horrific things that happen to people in their lives and that people can't recover from them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we know through so many examples that there are those times in our lives that we become stronger,
mm-hmm.
or our purpose becomes greater.
Mm-hmm.
And can we allow God to work in our lives enough that the situation might not have been good?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've heard a lot of we've interviewed a lot of these authors, and it's always like there's this, what do you want to call a turning point?
Yeah.
Where you're at the end of your rope.
Yes.
You're at the end of yourself.
Yes.
And, you know, for many people, you know, they're on their knees in the bedroom, you know,
right.
Or they're just, you know, laid out, you know, on the floor, you know, crying out. But there is that moment where, you know, even, you know, I'm a huge advocate of 12-step programs as a psychotherapist. I mean, one of the first things that you do is you acknowledge, you know, that there is a higher power,
right,
you know, in your life. And because you alone can't do it.
Right.
You know, that and that's how it feels when you're at these crossroads or these pivotal moments where, you know, you just go, I don't see it. You know,
yeah.
it's messy.
Or I'm running away.
It ain't pretty, but it's gritty. You know?
I'm running away from this.
Yeah.
I can't see how this is going to work out.
Yeah, exactly. And at that point, again, I'm not 100% there, but I know that at that point, you know, you're like, I go, good. Now I can work my little
right. Stop
here. You know,
exactly.
and. You know, look, you and I, when we were in Michigan, we took the van there, and you know, we're in a Walmart parking lot, which is just a couple of minutes from the, you know, the hospital. We got the dog with us, Elliot's with us, and we got the bed made and back, and we're kind of just taking a chill pill, laying down, and I'm looking out the window, and I see probably five or six cars where people are sleeping in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's humbling. You know, it's like there, but for the grace of God, you know, because we all have plan A, right?
Right.
And then we have plan B. And then what happens?
Where's plan C?
Yeah. And when is it that you're, you know, sleeping in the Walmart parking lot?
Right.
You know? And so, you know, It's difficult for me to talk about these things.
Well, it is, and yet, like, we know my brother for about a month did that.
Yes, he did.
Not because he didn't have options either, because he could have come home.
Yes, of course.
But it was just easier and convenient while he was transitioning from divorce,
mm-hmm.
and selling a house and all that, mm-hmm. stuff. He's like,
mm-hmm.
At that moment for him, it was all about, I don't want to deal with anything else right now.
Mm-hmm. But you know what, though? I'm gonna say something. Even with him, it looked pretty on him.
Oh, I know.
You know, I mean,
his
car was immaculate. And
yeah, like, you know, we had a bigger car, too. I mean, he had an SUV. So he actually laid down.
Yeah.
Had a sleeping bag.
Yeah. But, I mean, in some ways, we can tell that story again because it was kind of romantic in that sense. He wore it well, you know. He parked at a gym. You know, he had access 24/7 to bathing and working out and, you know.
Yeah.
All that
exactly.
Stuff. Yeah.
And it was kind of funny because I said, if I bring something into my car, I must take something out.
Yes.
Because I cannot disrupt the equilibrium of my vehicle right now.
I can, you know, there's that pivotal moment where he's like, hey, can you guys, I'd love to see you today, you know. And so Julie and I, and our two doggies at that time, we went to visit him. I think he was in like
DeKalb or something.
Right.
I don't know. And so we meet on this kind of like deserted road, and he gets out of his car, and it literally is immaculate.
Immaculate, yes.
I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
And he opens our van door, and like crap falls out. You know, I remember there was like this bottle of Muscle Milk that just fell out. You know, and I'm like, and he was the homeless one.
Yeah.
You know.
He was the one living in his car,
yeah,
not us. So, girlfriend, I want to kind of talk about your story.
Yes.
The Kiss. And written by Christine Marie. And just give me a little synopsis of what The Kiss mm-hmm. is about.
Well, I chose to, you know, when Judy approached me to write a story for the second version, I was asked to do the first, but I didn't feel that, you know, there was a lot of horrific stuff, you know,
right.
in the first book. And so I really thought, I don't want to be, it's not fair for me to
right.
be that, to have this story. But this was a pivotal story. I'm saying the word pivotal a lot tonight, aren't I?
Yeah, that's
okay. Is that right?
It's all pivotal.
It's right. And I chose the story because it was an a turning point in my life, or an act of unwavering strength, let's put it that way. So my story started about 40 years ago. You were a baby. And Norm and I had gone to a New Year's Eve party at some, you know, in this small town, like an Elks Club or something, you know, and it was a big New Year's Eve party. And so I remember it was Norm was with all of his rugby dudes, and it was like 1 minute before midnight, you know, and they were doing the countdown, and I turned around, you know, kind of looking for Norm, and this guy who I'd never seen before, never met, really drunk, you know, just like open-mouthed kissed me, like really slobbering,
yeah.
open-mouthed kissed me. So, hence the title of the story,
yes.
right? So, like, within 48 hours, I was sick as a dog. I found myself in the hospital, and I was so sure that I had gotten this, you know, from whoever this guy was, because I never saw him again, you know. And, you know, I had the intravenous stuff, you know, in my veins, and I was in this old hospital, I don't even know if I should say the town, but, you know, but at that time it was like a really, really old hospital. It had the big, tall windows, and it was obviously, you know, January and cold. And, I had this room all by myself, and I was just sort of chilling, maybe meditating, praying, I don't really know, mm-hmm. but I heard this, like, clip clop of this cane coming down the hallway with this, you know, just the wooden floors, you know, just like I'm the last room on the right, so there's no other place you can go past my room, you know, and this head peeks in, and it's this like really ancient priest, you know, big Coke bottle glasses, really frail looking. And he goes, hello, you know, can I come in? And I go, you know, and it was St. Mary's Hospital, so I'm obviously not, you know, surprised to see, you know, a priest, but this guy was really old. And I said, sure, you know. So he took a chair, you know, kind of one of these hard wooden chairs, and he sat down next to me, and we just started chatting.
Mm-hmm.
Just sweetly, you know. And before I knew it, like, I don't know, like 2 or 3 hours had passed. And it was kind of strange because I had never, here I am, like 19 or whatever, and I'm telling, you know, and I realize I'm telling stuff from my childhood and from my family that in my household we'd been, like, admonished not to tell. Like, you know, you know how they say what stays in Vegas, you know, happens in Vegas. I mean, in our household, it was like, you never tell what's going on in here. You don't tell the outside world. And so I had just grown up with this, you know, because we had a very volatile, I think we've talked about this before on Life with the Girlfriends, but it was a very volatile, you know, family situation, and there was physical, you know, getting smacked and with a belt, and there's a lot of verbal stuff. And so, but I had always kept it private, you know.
Right.
And I found myself with this really old priest just talking about it and feeling freer and lighter. And he came for 3 days straight, you know. And every day I started really looking forward to his visits in the afternoon, and we would talk about, and he'd say, well, what's your, you know, we talked about you, and he said, like, what's your biggest fear? And I said, well, I don't want to hurt Julie in the way that our family did. I don't want to perpetuate that. And so, you know, he talked about that, and he said, you know, look, you can break the cycle, and you don't have to do what was done to you. And I'm sure you can, you know, talk about forgiveness, forgiving your parents, because they only did what literally was done to them,
right?
And all of that stuff. And so it was, these 3 days was extremely healing. And on the fourth day, you know, he didn't show up. And I you know, rang for the nurse, and I said, where's the chaplain at today? I'm, you know, expecting him. And she goes, chaplain? Well, you know, we don't have a chaplain. I said, what do you mean? And I described the priest, and she looked at me, and I remember, because she came over and she just sort of grabbed my hand, and she said, you're talking about Father Roderman. And she said, he's a patient here. She goes, but he passed away last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I never let that experience go.
Right.
I said to myself, you know, what I learned. And see, I mean, he's the reason why I even became a therapist.
Right.
Because I never would have thought about how to break this cycle. I never would have talked to someone.
And you definitely did break the cycle.
And I did break the cycle,
yeah.
Yes.
And it's interesting because being a, you know, a 19, 20-year-old girl, mm-hmm. you know, with a little young, with a baby,
mm-hmm.
just newly married.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say this, the life before me and the life after me mm-hmm. was completely different for you. you know, and like a lot, you know, you were probably on a path of, I don't know, Miss St. Louis or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, red hair, model, was modeling locally, and, you know, was working at a weather station here and there. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you had a different trajectory.
Right, right, right.
And then met Norm.
Starman Norman.
Starman Norman. He swept you off your feet with that damn guitar and those jeans.
The damn guitar, the jeans. Barefoot,
yeah,
like, singing Jet Airplane.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
how
come
could
on.
You not? How could
oh,
you
come
not?
Come on.
And it's so funny because that encounter resulted in me after, you know, you guys dated, of course, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
you were a good Catholic girl, and let's just leave it at that. But, you know, being married these many years later and experience, I'm going to say my part of the story because because you talk about in your story,
yes.
the unwavering strength you had to have to live that life, because it was, you felt alone and
mm-hmm.
isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it took courage to say, I'm not going to treat my kid the way I was used to being treated.
Right.
I'm going to figure out a different way.
Well, what's interesting, too, is, I you know, we're talking about miracles tonight, and it was interesting because when I told my parents, you know, that I was pregnant. I mean, the first thing they said was, well, you're going to get an abortion. And I was like, well, hello, we don't do that, right? And then it was like, no, you're going to get the baby up for adoption.
Right.
And so my mom put, the word out. And I mean, like, there's probably like eight or nine, like very wealthy couples, Juliet wanted you. And I can remember Norm and I were just sitting at this an old dining room table, and he had his college textbooks on the table, and he was doodling. And he just looked up at me and said, "You know, fuck it, let's just get married." And I looked down at his doodles, and he had doodled a hangman. And I'm like, "Oh, is that how you're going to propose?"
And you're like, "Sure."
But, you know, and it was like, and so we were brave enough to do that, you know, like we bucked the system with my parents, who were just like, "No, you're not going to," and we did. We ran away, and, you know, even now, all these years later, you know, on our anniversary, we still celebrate with champagne, you know, the hangman,
right.
and the courage that we had together to forge our lives.
Well, and here's the interesting thing, because I know in the fullness of time, all things work for good, right?
Yes, yes.
And so...
And you're the best thing that ever happened to me.
Aw, thanks.
I end my story in Unwavering Strength, and I said, you know, I gave birth to my best friend, you know.
And that's true. That brings tears to my eyes. You know, but what's interesting is that to the full of the time, it hasn't been an easy life,
no.
But it's been a blessed life.
Yes. Yes.
And we've had so much love.
Yes.
And
luckily, you know, we believed in education because, I mean, with me going back to school and you know, becoming a therapist, we were able to define the fun in dysfunction.
Yes, we were. And here's the thing, it was almost like, There was a new plan, a new path that lit itself out in front of you,
yes.
In a way that kept growth going and kept you moving.
Yes.
And it's interesting because I will hear people talk about, like, the worst thing possible that could happen to somebody
mm-hmm.
is to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it ruins your life forever, you know, or whatever. and you know, here are the options for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, at that moment, it probably wasn't the best.
I wasn't relishing telling my family.
Yeah, I bet you were scared shitless.
Yeah, exactly.
But in the fullness of time,
yes.
Because you kept choosing life,
yes.
In the sense of choosing more, mm-hmm. like, okay, this is what's going on.
And you know what, too, Jill, I love that line, you know, you said kept choosing life. And even more, I think I kept choosing love.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
You know, I didn't choose money. I didn't choose career or prestige, you know,
right.
I just step by step, you know,
and certainly the guy you picked at 19,
yes,
who, you know, my dad, lovely guy, might not have been the guy you would have picked at 30
or 60
or 20, but you're like, yeah, we've made a life of it. It's been
yes.
a good life.
Yes, it's a good, it's been good.
It's
it
been good
been, and it is good.
It is good. And I cut you off. You were going to say something.
No. I just, as we're talking about this, I'm just feeling the blessedness
yeah.
in this. Because there have been, you know, other people that have come into our lives that have really, you know, blessed us, you know. And,
yeah.
Like, you know, I had when I was doing my didactic, which is, you know, when you're a therapist and you're training to be a therapist, you have to have therapy, you know. And I happened to get a woman that was literally almost, I mean, she couldn't have been more perfect for me. She was an ex-nun, you know, and she was married to an ex-priest. And, I mean, and so she literally understood all of my crap, you
right.
know, and stuff. So I just, you know, I mean, like, man, that was a blessing too. And then the old priest who was, you know, spent his last days on earth.
Yes.
You know, talking to a scared kid. You know,
exactly.
Literally that was. And so, you know, it's interesting because when my story went to the editor, right?
Yeah.
She was like, "Well, you never say who this person is." You know, it was like that tone.
Yes.
And like, "Don't you think your readers would want to know who this person was?" And I'm like,
The person who kissed you, kissed?
Yes.
Yes.
Who started this whole thing, right?
And you're like, I don't really know who it was.
I don't know who it was. But,
an angel.
But I did. I said, you know what? I felt like it was an angel.
Yeah.
And I said, and so I you know, looked up under Bible quotes, and I go, you know, something like, be kind to everyone, lest you might meet an angel, unawares, something like that.
You know, Mom, it did not say, you know, open mouth kiss everyone. Let me see an angel.
Yeah. That Michael or Gabriel, he knows how to do it, baby.
But you know, here it is. In the bigger picture, you're like, okay, that incident that happened that got you to the hospital.
Yes.
You know, led you to that priest.
Yes.
And who knew that in the book was written that you needed to talk to this priest before he passed. He needed to give you all of his wisdom.
Yes. He did give me all of his wisdom. And you know, and I sort of struggle now because at my age, you know, am I still viable? You know, I still have lots of stuff I want to do. But and then you look at the priest, and there's that quote: "In your old age, you shall continue to bear fruit."
Yes.
And here he was, you know, the last 48 hours of his life, the last 72 hours of his life, the last 20, still producing fruit, and changing the course of your life, Julie, and my life.
I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and this gets me to the point where I was watching the, I never remember her name. I love her. She's a preacher.
Are you talking about Joyce Meyer?
Yes, thank you. Why can't I remember her name, Joyce Meyer?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, you know, God can work these miracles through your life if you let him.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever incident happens, mm-hmm. let him work through you, and that incident, that whatever that was going on, can be transformed into this amazing thing in your life.
Yes.
For good.
For good.
And I certainly feel the blessings of all that.
Mm-hmm.
And even now at this moment when we're having all this other stuff happen.
Right.
And our faith is being tested.
Right.
And we're saying, it's got to be all for good.
It better be.
It better be. It's all a miracle. You know? It's all a miracle. And so living your story, being a part of it.
Yes.
Knowing that it could have gone a different way.
Right.
I could have been...
I know.
Not been here.
Or having some very rich, wealthy parents.
Yes, exactly. That could have been, you know. But when you, I watched that movie, was nominated for Best Cammy Award last year, about the Catholic mother whose child was taken away from her by the Catholic Church. Wilhelmina.
Right.
Well, when you hear that story, you're going, I'm so grateful I wasn't adopted, wasn't given
right.
for adoption.
Right, right.
You know, back then.
Oh, I know. I mean, yeah, you think that. I mean, it wasn't always so easy. Yeah.
No. But it was, I mean, for our life, for our family, this was the blessing.
Yes.
That it was all meant to be.
Yes.
And so...
What was the quote I have in my book, in the chapter? There are 2 days, there are only 2 times. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. The most two most important days of your life is the day you were born and the day you find out why you were born.
Yeah.
Is that... It was Mark Twain's quote, I believe.
Yes. Well, I adopted it.
Yes, you did.
He told me I can use it.
In your channeling state. So anyway, we're getting close to our end of show.
Oh, really?
Oh, my
gosh.
It's gone by so fast.
It went so fast.
And so we would love everyone on. We'll let people know, because we still have one more show, I believe. But it's the 24th, right, Mom?
Yes.
We'll talk about it again next week.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to have you
purchase it at Amazon.com.
Support us. We would love that.
Unwavering Strength, Volume 2.
Yes. Support us. It's a great book. Lots of lovely stories of unwavering strength.
And still buy, you know, The Clutterfly Effect.
That really supports
people,
us.
That really supports us.
Please do that. We don't get royalties on the other one. But.
Yes. And if you do, just send us a receipt, and we will send you our lovely voices reading it to you.
Exactly.
Through your headphones.
Exactly. So we want to thank everyone for this, I guess, a cleansing of radio show tonight, huh?
We've
been just letting it all hang out.
Yes.
Talking about everything.
That's life with a girlfriend, though, isn't
exactly
it?
Right.
It gets, the better it gets, the better it gets.
You can go to our website, theclutterflyeffect.com, or ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, talk to us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. We love to hear, we don't want any haters. Come on.
No.
We don't, and we really don't have any.
No.
I've only had, I think, one in my you know, years that I've been doing this. And put him in his place, didn't I?
I think you did. All right, everyone, have a great, great night. And Mama?
And I guess overall I want to say it was great.
It was great.